And of course, Jean-Luc Picard always went into deep space with his saddle, because you never know when you're going to land on a planet where you're going to have the opportunity to do some horse riding, as indeed Starship Mine proved, because in that particular episode, if he didn't have his saddle, he would not have been able to actually rescue the Enterprise from those potential terrorist people.
And it was an Arabian horse he chose as well.
Exactly. And let's not get started on Star Trek Generations, where Kirk and Picard ride around each other. It's truly tremendous. These are just some of the magical moments that I was privileged to actually encounter when I had the joy of going to the West Coast a matter of days ago and heading off to, indeed, the home of Ryan Jones. That would be Blackpool. And not only was I significantly impressed with respect to Star Trek The Exhibition, but I also had the opportunity to meet in person our next guest on the programme, the legend that is Paul Hill. Paul, how are you?
Yeah, great, thanks. How are you doing today?
Very good indeed. And I followed your instructions to take me from the Star Trek The Exhibition all the way through to catch up with Star Trek Beyond at the wonderful Royal Opera House, etc. And Dr. Maggie Adrin-Pocock, who we'll hear on the show in a few moments. Sensational. So great, great stuff, and hats off to a truly tremendous exhibition. Now, one or two folk might have actually seen our Facebook photographs that we put up on aforementioned Facebook to get a sense about how the show was developing, how the actual thing was there. But before we actually move there, talk to us about, now that we've wrapped up the Star Trek 50th Anniversary Film Festival in Blackpool, Star Trek The Exhibition, which of course still continues.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're here in Blackpool, and we've got a permanent presence going on into 2017 and hopefully beyond, where we've got a collection of artifacts that have been donated to us by a chap called Martin Netter. He's a German collector, and he's from a company called Filmwelt. And over the past 30 years, he's been building a collection of Star Trek memorabilia and artifacts. And about 3 years ago, when Paramount was selling off all of their sort of warehouse stock of artifacts at an auction in Christie's in New York, he pretty much bought the whole lot. So what we've got here is a selection of never-before-seen artifacts, including some surprising additions, such as Borg.
In fact, it's literally outstanding, and I can't hold back any further. I teased Ryan earlier today with the news that of an offer that you're going to just sort of make live on air today to actually share with us. Would you like to just break this news, Paul? Because I know it would just explode. The offer is?
Yeah, certainly. You're more than welcome, guys, to come here and do your radio broadcast live from the bridge of the Starship Enterprise from the original series.
We will be doing a radio show live from the NCC 1701 bridge. Is that a treat, or is that a treat?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, we'll be a book of the month while we're there, plus various other sort of factors, which I'm sure we'll liaise with Ryan about the best way to sort of draw this together. But, I mean, how can you resist that? I mean, how can...
Well, I'm not sitting at this end. I will be at that end.
Exactly. And we'll be recording that and sorting through all sorts of other areas from that point of view, with Siren and our sister station, Southside Broadcasting. You see, it's even on the Bridge of the Enterprise, you've got the Blackpool Tangerine Orange and that sort of
thing.
Uh-huh. So very good, very impressive.
That's right, yes.
So, Paul, how did you actually get involved with StarTrekBlackpool.co.uk? What was your own journey as a trekker to coordinate this exhibition and so on?
Well, it was totally unexpected, actually. Previously to this, I've been teaching for the past 3 years as a computing lecturer with Blackpool Macquarie College. So then I was looking for a new challenging role after that, and I saw a vacancy on LinkedIn for a former manager position, and it was only after I got a phone call asking me to come to the interview I found out that it was for Star Trek. Which was a nice surprise, because I've always followed the show and the movies from being very young.
Well, Katie, your thoughts on hosting a show, the Midweek Drive Out, live from the Starship Enterprise?
That would be fab, definitely. I I'm just really sad to have missed this missed the Star Trek Blackpool convention.
Well, it's not really a convention because, as we said, it was more than that in terms of the film festival went down extraordinarily well, and we developed that because the good news continues. We see a global art exhibition of Star Trek, 50 artists, 50 years, happening in the Winter Gardens in Blackpool. And, Ryan, it's time for that wonderful, joyous statement that the Blackpool Illuminations this year will be Star Trek themed.
Really? Oh, wow.
Is that not the case, Paul?
That's correct, yes. We're going to have our own section outside of our exhibition with various illumination features which are going to change to different faces and ships. It should be a really great addition to the illuminations this year.
So you see, Ryan, that statement you made this morning where you said Blackpool looks a lot better with the Starship Enterprise hanging over it.
It does on the side.
And there we are, you see, Paul. Ryan is a Blackpool resident.
Alumni,
exactly. Alumni. One of our whole system from that point of view. So it echoes on that sort of point of view from the time onwards. What's been your favourite, what was your favourite experience of the film festival, Paul? I mean, did you get a chance to see it? Because obviously we had the opening of the exhibition that sort of set the whole thing through. Then, of course, the film festival and, of course, the launch of Star Trek Beyond.
I managed to arrange for myself and all of my team here to go to the opening night of Beyond at the Winter Garden of the Film Festival. Yeah. And I donned the captain's uniform and I got most of my team here in the original series uniforms. And when we walked into a room of about 200 people all drinking champagne and eating hors d'oeuvres, all eyes were on us, like, when we walked in. And I got photos with many different counsellors and all sorts of interesting people, so that was really great, and then I got to enjoy the movie afterwards.
Well, as we know, the Star Trek celebration of 50 years, the most enduring science fiction franchise in history. I know we've got two Doctor Who fans in the studio, but yeah, it had 50 years.
You can love more than one show.
Thank you, Katie. You see, there we are. That's the official one. But it continues ever onward. We've got a few other sort of things to work through. Larry Nemechek will be joining us, of course, very shortly. And indeed, Tara Bennett will be back with us next week, sharing her thoughts on the post-San Diego Comic-Con experience. Ryan, any questions for Paul about life in Blackpool, weather in Blackpool? Because I know you sometimes have withdrawal symptoms when you're this side of the country.
I do. You know, yes.
Crossing over.
And as someone, you know, who grew up there, and I only left about... I remember now.
He went through a time zone. I did find it, as I say, Paul, it was one of those interesting things that my watch curiously gained 2 hours in the walk from the from the exhibition right the way through to the Opera House. It was extraordinary. I don't know why, but I didn't feel like that.
It's a secret. I mean, I was supposed to go down with Alex to Blackpool.
He had the opportunity.
I had the ticket, but I had to...
He could have been upgraded to Admiral status.
I had another engagement on, but... I mean, seeing the Winter Gardens done in such a way, especially playing, you know, a big blockbuster movie in 3D in that historic building, how did that feel?
Well, it felt like more of an event than going to a regular cinema. Like being up on the balcony and having such a beautiful venue as the Winter Gardens and the Opera House in particular, it was really nice to be so high up and looking down on the screen. It was amazing, really, like acoustically and visually. It was really good.
And I have to say, it was very impressive. I didn't quite get to the start of Star Trek 3D because Maggie was so fascinated. She was kind enough to actually grant a quick interview with us as well, which we'll hear in a few moments. That's Dr. Maggie Adairn Pocock. Indeed, how Star Trek saved her life. Dramatic.
Yeah, that's right. She's wonderful. Yeah, I spent 2 days with Maggie, actually, and a young daughter who's hilarious. It was really, really nice to meet such a wonderful character like such as Maggie and have all these interesting conversations about space and all the technical advancements that she's making and all the contribution that she's making to the field of science and space exploration.
And I must admit, I was talking with Katie about Maggie earlier, and there are certain aspects of the late, great Sir Patrick Moore that seem to emerge in Maggie Adairn Pocock, which I sort of work our way through that. So it's always very impressive to actually ensure that, you know, we get that written to the full force thing. So clearly the exhibition is continuing, and that's working through from that point of view. What's the best way for people who actually are sort of thinking, well, you know, I'm considering actually going to the exhibition, is it best to book online? Can you actually get tickets at the gate or the door? What's the best way for?
Yeah, you can come on down, and my team here will look after you, and you can buy tickets on the door. Or alternatively, you can search for us on Ticketmaster. You can buy tickets on there, reserve tickets all the way up to the 6th of November. That's the sort of the first block of tickets that we've got. But we will be open all the way through the winter and into next year.
And that's one of the pleasing things, of course, that it's going to continue to stay. I know Phil Dearness was a bit surprised by the drop-off in box office that Star Trek Beyond has actually shown. But at the end of the day, it's a good movie. I mean, your thoughts yourself on Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. Definitely very fast-paced, and the effects are just gorgeous. I think the story is quite good, and it shows the development of the three main characters as they come into their own now. Mm. And I think it's a really great addition to the series.
And there we are, you see. Thumbs up for our routine. Paul, it's been fantastic touching base with a good self. A quick little ident just for your benefit, for the benefit of people who are sort of thinking, what is this station?
Hello, I'm Maggie Adairn Pocock, and you're listening to Siren FM.
There we are, you see. Very good. Very enthusiastic.
Very nice.
I mean, you know, you can tell she's does guest slots with the clangers, you know, with that sort of passion that comes through on that basis. It's just the tremendous excitement. You know, it's more than just whimsy.
Hello, I'm Maggie Adairn Pocock, and you're listening to Siren FM.
It's marvellous. That's great. Anyway, we'll hear more from Maggie in a few moments. Two final questions for yourself, Paul. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, very good.
We like to think that the quality, because obviously, in many ways, guys, this could have been our audition, because, I mean, this goes online. You know, Paul Hill sort of is there. The offer, obviously, he's made it public to actually sort of present a radio show. It's very exciting. Well, as you can tell, quite excited by that. We will progress with that. And I take it then you will return and keep us appraised of how the exhibition is going and more in the very near future, Paul.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you've got my contact information now, so whenever you want me to come back on the show, just give me a shout and I'll happily come back on.
A round of applause for Paul Hill, please. Yay!
Thank you very much.
Frequently said over the years, including actually the fact I was blessed to actually met Gene Roddenberry back in 1984, is its inspiration. And I've just actually attended a superbly inspiring talk with the legend that is Dr. Maggie Adairn Pocock. Good to see you in person, Maggie.
Oh, lovely to be here in Blackpool. It's been fantastic.
Absolutely. Again, the actual piece itself, How Star Trek Changed Your Life, it's a story that really echoes in so many ways. My own include, I was blessed to do a chemistry and biology degree. I went to life sciences because, as I said to Gene Roddenberry, it was an inspirational thing at a time that sort of really comes through that whole process. But what you've done in this particular talk has really been kind of outline the history of space travel from Yuri Gagarin. I thought you might have mentioned Valentina Tereshkova, first woman in space, of course.
Because I met her about 6 months ago, and she promised that when we would go into space together, although she promised the head of the science museum that she'd go into space with him as well, so I think she says it to everyone.
Oh, maybe Helen Sharman will be a better bet anyway. But again, really a fantastic talk from that point of view. From a scientist's point of view, I mean, I was again fortunate to speak to Patrick Moore, of course, who sort of paved the way for the Sky at Night in so many ways, his program in so many ways. But it is something which we look up at the stars and we think, wow,
It is. I think it's something that has happened throughout time. And one of the things I'm really interested in is archaeoastronomy. Because if you look at every culture of the world, everybody has looked up at the stars and thought, wow. And we do it in different ways, we tell different stories, and we investigate in different ways. But yes, it is something, I think, inbuilt in all of us to look out there. I also think we're really lucky to be born on a planet like Earth, where you do get clear skies sometimes. But if you were born on somewhere like Venus, it would be cloudy all the time, and so perhaps you wouldn't even be aware of it.
Very true. But I mean, anybody who can combine the Clangers with Doctor Who and, of course, Stargate and Star Trek, which, of course, as well, is phenomenal from that point of view. Do you have a particular favourite series? Are you original series, would you say? Because Enterprise actually taps into the whole notion of that progression and so on.
I think the original series, because I think when you grew up with something, it's sort of part of me. So the original series is definitely there. I quite like Deep Space Nine. And Enterprise is good because it shows sort of the early beginnings. And that's what we're hoping to get to as soon as possible, really. So I do love that as well.
And one is minded of, obviously, the relationship between Gene Roddenberry, science, Isaac Asimov. Asimov's Guide to Science was very much on his desk, etc. I think the aspect of Star Trek that really works for scientists is, even when it kind of breaks those laws, as in faster than light travel and so on, it breaks them in a way that actually makes some kind of constant sense.
Yes, because I think the science behind Star Trek is fairly robust. I think every so often, yeah, they sort of push the limits, but that's what science fiction is about. And I think by pushing the limits, it gets our scientists thinking, hold it, well, maybe they've got a point, or perhaps we should look into that. We can be caught up by our own dogma, and science fiction helps us to transcend that and gives us new ideas. So in that respect, it's wonderful.
Well, of course, both Lance Krauss with the physics of Star Trek, and indeed Jesko von Puttkamer, both sort of added to the whole thing. So come on, Maggie, when are you going to be the next advisor for the next series? Surely they've been in touch with you already.
I'm waiting for the call, but I'm not holding my breath.
Start the campaign now. Get in touch with our Hollywood sort of correspondents and say, look, it's high time you sort of got this. It's all very well getting Brian Fuller back, but at the end of the day, we need Maggie on board too.
Well, I'd love to do it. Because it's funny, I'm working on a children's programme at the moment for CBeebies, so for 4 to 7-year-olds, and it's cosmology for 4 to 7-year-olds. And I think if we can get them excited, we can get everybody excited. So,
and you're talking about the Drake Equation. The person who introduced me to the Drake Equation, Carl Sagan, of course. You're responsible for SETI, and again, that legacy continues as well.
Oh, yes, and also a science fiction writer with Contact and things like that. So, Carl Sagan, what can I say? I'm not worthy.
I don't know. I've just put you together with the sign. I think you are, actually. Maggie, it's been fantastic just sharing some thoughts with your good self today, and good to meet you in person. You've got the joys of exploring that final frontier called Blackpool, of course, our very own sort of wormhole on the West Coast.
Yes, I can't wait. I've never been to Blackpool before, and I've got my 6-year-old daughter with me, and we're going to enjoy. The sun is shining.
Absolutely. Well, I was very pleasantly surprised. I've travelled up from Lincoln today, and it's been a good sort of delivery, so good stuff.
Yes. Well, I hope you have a brilliant time here too.
Splendid. Maggie Darren Pocock there, as recorded at Blackpool. And online now, via the magic of Skype, we can actually welcome that other cosmological guru and general all-round wonderful person, Mike Dooley. How are you?
I'm so happy. Can you hear me okay, Alex?
I think we're coming through well. Jambo Mike, as they'd say, using this wonderful sort of technique of connecting via the wonderful mystery of Skype. So great that you're actually here from that point of view. And what's the weather like in Florida?
Oh, it's balmy. You'd love it. Hot, humid, and sunny.
Well, the great news is that it might be hot, humid, and sunny in Florida, but you are coming back to the United Kingdom, and in September, to be precise, September the 3rd, you will be back in London.
I'm so excited about that. I was just speaking with some of my colleagues, and most wonderfully, almost inexplicably, London is the city in the world that I have the best turnout, and we're expecting upwards of 500-600 people. It's going to be a grand day.
Well, we do hope that this time I'll be able to catch up with you once again in person. I think last time you were over in Manchester, and I decided to choose to experience the delights of measles at that stage. So
That was quite a manifestation.
Yeah, well, you know, every so often I like to push those boundaries, and if you're going to go manifest something, why not something that at a certain age could actually kill you? It's okay. We decided to stick around. We'd work on that basis. We've got two fine folk in the studio. We have the wonderful Ryan Jones, who is originally from Blackpool, but he's doing a postgraduate qualification here at the University of Lincoln. Ryan, any questions for Mike?
Well, I was looking at your website earlier, and I noticed...
touch.com.
Yes. And I noticed you're off to Tahiti.
That's right, a third time.
Third time. Why go back there?
Well, just to kind of give the backdrop, every 6 months approximately for the past 10 years as part of my website's Touch Adventurers Club. While the site is mostly philosophical, focusing on the metaphysical realms of life, our power, etc., it's still an adventurers club for the adventure of life. And if you have an adventurers club, then why not, once every 6 months or so, go on a one-week adventure into the jungles of time and space. And so I've taken over 20 expeditions, if you will, although they're usually, you know, in very comfortable hotels, to places like Cairo and Kenya, Peru, Machu Picchu, Mediterranean cruises, Alaskan cruises, Hawaiian cruises. And Tahiti is at the very, very top of our list, maybe top three choices that of where we have been in the past that are so really, truly good. You can't even overhype them. You know, they'll still exceed your expectations when you land. That we thought, let's go back to some of these premier places, because each time we take a trip, we bring people with us who have never been before. It's a dream come true for them. And that's why it's just absolutely spectacular.
Katie, thoughts from yourself. As you know, I'm a big believer in Mike. That's why we wrap up every show on a Wednesday with one of his classic thoughts for the day, as recorded in 2012, of course, the year of the Myathon. And as I rightly say, when Mike Dooley fiddled in us and myself, we saved the world, effectively, yeah, collectively. It's very important.
Wow. Honored.
Katie.
Where would you like to go, Mike, that you've not been to before?
You know, I have thought of that question and have been posed that question a number of times. You know, the more you travel, the more you realize how little you know. But at the same time, and how little you've seen so far. And while there's great destinations like Morocco that I've never been to, and Burma, generally third world nations where it's really a total contrast to a Western lifestyle, those are high on my list. But truthfully, compared to when I was 22 years old, just out of college, and I was just desperate to see the physical world, I am far more interested right now in metaphysical adventures of the mind. You know, I won't put any words to it because it'll just sound a bit trite. But truly, there are realms and dimensions and focuses that we can have, that others have had, that they've reported on, whether they were near-death experiences, which I don't aspire to the death part of that, or other altered states achieved naturally. Those would be what I really have a burning desire for right now. I've satisfied most of my wanderlust for the planet. There's nowhere I'm just pining to go that I haven't been, although there's so much that I haven't seen that would no doubt thrill me.
It's interesting, we were just talking to Maggie Adrin Pocock, who's an astronomer and cosmologist who followed her own dreams, and she said in a lecture she was giving in Blackpool last Friday how Star Trek saved her life. And the real essence behind that was when she was at school, she was dyslexic. There were other challenges that were actually involved with her growth, but something that she saw in the series Star Trek kind of convinced her that actually there was a way forward. And again, moving on to that whole notion of being inspired, following one's dreams, that's kind of what you do with respect to the whole the universe today, and indeed a totally unique thoughts package that you provide for us, Mike.
That is entirely it, Alex. This is truly my website and my work, my books, my videos, my speaking are all about the adventure. Truly, there is no greater adventure than the one we've all chosen to be on, into the jungles, the hallowed jungles of time and space. And really, because as I share and others have shared, I believe we're alive during very primitive times, spiritually speaking. Job number one for me and those I speak to is to wake up to this truth that we are all slumbering giants, slumbering deities, with truly possessing dominion over all things. As it says biblically, although I am not of any religion, as you well know, but the truth has been echoed throughout the ages in a number of forms and through a number of vehicles, and that's what it's about. It's like, wake up. You're living a life in this dreamscape, And you are, literally everybody listening right now, you are the dream weaver of your adventure. And that which you don't like, you can change it, whether it's health or relationships or a sense of fulfillment or living in greater prosperity, because our thoughts literally become the things and events of our lives. Hence my fascination with in learning more and in sharing more with regard to the jungles of time and space.
Ryan.
Yeah, very interesting. Yes, it's more, it makes it more connected than, it, you know, it comes across as.
I love the line, we should spend more time being and less time doing.
Yes.
We're not sort of human doings.
Yes,
human
that's, yeah, we do go about our lives, you know, doing things for other people and, you know, getting no satisfaction
out of it.
And that's
fine, I think, if you've chosen to do that. Yeah. But sometimes you need to think, actually, it's time to actually not just have me time, but to actually focus on the adventure, both outside and inside. I mean, inner space, outer space, a whole range of factors there. Mike, we're going to try something quite adventurous in ourselves now with respect to the technology, because we're going to try and hook up with Los Angeles. I know, they said you could never be Florida and Los Angeles. This is outrageous, you know. But we do believe, and therefore we will make it so, that Phil Leonis should hopefully be at the other end of a telephone line somewhere in Los Angeles, not too far away. So we're going to try and connect with Phil, and then, if you're kind enough to stay with us, Mike, we'll have that glorious connection of Lincoln, Florida, Los Angeles. They said it could never be done, but, you know, I feel as though if you were still actually sort of promoting T-shirts with motivational messages on Monday morning motivators, it would be something which would be at the heart of that. We'll also possibly have Mike select his very own choice for a top sort of number between 2 and 26. It's happened. Anyway, Mike, if you stay with us, we'll hopefully be back with you in a few moments after a little touch of Gordon Lightfoot. And if you could read my mind...
You could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free, as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sell. When you reach the park where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. And you won't read that book again, because the ending's just too hard to take. Star who gets burned in a three-way sprint, enter number two. A movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, story's always in. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feeling that you left. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Well, we just need to focus on our thoughts. That's the important thing. Isn't that right, Phil Leonis?
I didn't hear what you said. I was too much enjoying the words of Mike Dooley and the tones of Gordon Lightfoot.
Well, there you are. Mike, are you with us as well?
I am indeed. Thank you. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Mike. I was just reading... I dialed up one of my favorite notes from the universe because I thought maybe this would be a good opportunity to share it.
Oh, cool.
Share away, Phil. Share away.
Okay. Not that the ones between the number of 1 and 26 aren't endlessly fascinating that you offer us each week, Alex. But
look, I've been talking. Hopefully, when Mike's back in London again, we'll be able to actually record some more new ones. I know they're classics, but anyway, carry on, Phil.
Well, absolutely, and I just want people to know that, like, for those of us who do receive these in our inbox, we get these magical messages from the universe, and so the universe. Is infinite not only in terms of time and space, but also in its notes. Remember, the whole point of this drill, besides the daily adventures, falling in love over and over again, and the color purple, was simply to give you a little vacation from being me. You don't have to take everything so seriously. Enjoy it to the max. The universe.
Oh, thank you, Phil. That's one of my favorites, too.
I think a round of applause for that. I mean, we knew it would work. It had to happen in every sense of the word there, the connection between Phil Leonis and, indeed, the universe at full force. Anyway, Phil, you've had a chance to hopefully catch some of the program and so on. Any comments you'd like to share, or, indeed, questions for Mike?
Yes, only questions for Mike, please. Maybe we'll tie this in... You know, you've been speaking so much about the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, Alex, and what it's meant to so many people and how it's inspired so many people. I'm curious as to whether Mike Dooley is a Star Trek fan and if it inspired him during his formative years in any way.
I'll never forget watching reruns of Star Trek with my father. It was some of my favorite times spent with him. So it's got a place near and dear in my heart, but I must confess I have not done a good job keeping up with the subsequent blockbuster films. So I'm one of you, but I have some catching up to do.
Well, if ever, Mike, there was...
I must confess that the producers of those blockbuster films have not really done a good job of giving you a reason to keep up with them. Nevertheless, my favorite memories... It's so interesting to hear you say about your memories with your father, because I have, like many people, a father, and a somewhat, at times, uneasy relationship. But one thing that I can always remember most fondly is if it was a Star Trek Monster of the Week episode, you would find me on my dad's lap, able to watch only because he was keeping me safe.
Oh, that's great. That's incredible. Beautiful picture.
And from then to direct The Lady Killers, what's not to appreciate? It's generally a routine. Phil, one of the sort of aspects that sort of comes across as well from your own experience with The Truth Is Out There and obviously your weekly Chilpack Hollywood slot is that you're living your dream as well. I mean, are you a proponent of obviously the Thoughts Become Things manifesto that we've been sharing with Mike over the last few years here?
Absolutely. I know, much as I wish to deny it at times, that where we put our attention, that's what will grow. And our as my dear friend, artist and philosopher Lee McCloskey always says, our challenge is to become gardeners of consciousness, to become better gardeners. Don't worry about weeds. If you focus on weeds, the weeds will grow, but also know that weeds have their place in a garden. and so just become a more conscientious gardener. And part of that, of course, also is planting seeds and being willing to walk away and knowing that you may not even come back to that place to get to see what crop has sprung up from those seeds. And to willingly go into that knowing is part of the dance of being alive. So I, of course, have always found Mike's work so inspiring in this regard.
Well, well said, Phil. Very nicely chosen words. You are a wordsmith.
Well, that's one of the reasons, Mike, I suggested that actually what better person could you actually have than Phil Lynn is to direct the Mike Dooley story, you know, the movie that the world is waiting for. You know, it's got to happen. Katie, thoughts for yourself?
I just thought that was a really lovely metaphor. I like the idea of being better gardeners of ourselves and our sort of mental well-being. I thought that was, yeah, really sort of, yes.
It's one for the heaven-based horticulturalists.
Absolutely.
I completely agree.
That's wonderful. So, Mike, have you ever been over to Los Angeles? I mean, presumably you have, or is it a case of, no, that's West Coast, I just do the East Coast. It's a totally different area.
Well, there's no East Coast-West Coast rivalry in philosophers as there are in gang and rap stars. So I've been many times. I quite love it. In fact, I was born in Orange County, part of the Los Angeles area, although I've never lived there since those first few formative years of my life.
Phil, the floor is yours. You can take it wherever you wish.
What to do with Orange County?
Exactly.
I think the time is now, Mike, for you to move back because they could use a few conscientious gardeners in Orange County.
I love that gardener metaphor and the walking away from your patch, so to speak. It spoke to how romantic life truly is, or as I would teach, how it appears to be so all or nothing at times, making our role so vital and stirring passion in our hearts. But the bigger picture is the garden's going to do just fine without me. And
right.
It's not out of the realm that I wouldn't return to at least Southern California. I find it to be as near to heaven on earth as one gets. But we're all in every place simultaneously at once. And while the brain can't quite get that, at least I know that I have an influence there through you and through Hay House and all else that I do.
And that's one of the interesting things that took me quite some time to actually acknowledge the notion of actually being one with everything. It's very much a Buddhist philosophy that sort of we connect with, and sometimes we need to do that actually do unto others as one would wish to do unto oneself is such a critical way of actually believing. And sometimes we perhaps find it a little bit difficult when you look at the politics of the world, whether it be United Kingdom politics, whether it be obviously the ongoing saga of the American presidential election. Personally, I'd like to see a Dooley Leonis double ticket going for the White House. Probably around about 2020. Yeah, I mean, I'd be up from that point of view. I mean, it's the first ladies would be fabulous. You'd have, you know, obviously Lily Holliman and Mike's. It's fantastic. But anyway, that's by the mark. Phil, from your own perspective, any sort of other areas you'd like to? I mean, when's the last time you've been in Florida, actually? Because we need to sort of address that. I mean, when did you talk about obviously Mike in Los Angeles? But you did the road trip recently. Did you make it down to Florida? Obviously, Lily's has done New Orleans.
No, I have not been to Florida in more than a decade, and but I do have plans for shooting some things at one location in particular in Florida for part two of The Truth Is Out There, if I can make that happen. But I love this idea of being not only all places, but being home. Even as one wanders, even as one roams and travels, and I think, you know, I always look, in my best moments, look at what's going on, as disturbing as it might be in the world or in the theater of politics, and see it as a metaphor, as something that is reflecting something back to us about the collective. That's the good news of it, and I think often in this country about the epidemic of homelessness, and to me, one of the big things that it points out is how often we are not at home even if we're living at home, how often we are not at home with the nourishing truths of what it means to be human, and that's what these people are holding a mirror up to for the rest of us, is how can we be at home wherever we are with certain concepts that ground us in the meaningful and nurturing nature of our existence.
Mm. It all comes back to love. Well said, Phil.
Ryan, thoughts from yourself? You've been sitting quietly listening to the metaphysical discussions that we've been having here. We've taken the program from obviously granting absolution to William Coles. It seems so minor, him actually throwing a can of Coke at an irate driver. You know, that's minor by comparison, really. But
it puts everything into perspective. And, yeah, those words are, you know, they're sitting with me.
So, Mike, the time has actually come for us to invite you to make a number choice. This allows time, obviously, to have a deconstruction of the whole thing, and we appreciate that you may well not know which numbers they were, because, of course, you selected them 4 years ago when we actually recorded things initially. But between numbers 2 and 27, which number would you like to go for?
11, please.
You've gone for number 11. Big question, of course, is will it have a PS on? Because it will open up a whole range of discussion debate with Phil. Anyway, number 11 is this.
The secret behind miracles is that the one performing them begins without any knowledge whatsoever of exactly how they will succeed. Yet still, they begin. When you move, I move the universe. Once again, taking action saves the day.
Clearly he knew it didn't have a PS, so there's wonderful stuff. Phil, how did that resonate with yourself?
Oh my gosh!
I love it. Have you told Mike about my fear of some of the PSs?
Well, I think it's up to you to share that, Phil. I mean, I think now is the opportunity. We've waited for this moment, so go for it.
I occasionally, Mike, think that the universe needs to learn how to make a French goodbye. You know, just leave the party. Just drop the wisdom and leave the party. But the universe will come back to whisper these PSs, and sometimes they get a little too close physically for my comfort, and I feel like I need to maybe take a restraining order out on the universe. When the universe tells me to move closer to the window so it can see what I'm wearing, that's when I...
Maybe you're getting this from somebody else there, Phil. You better be careful. Somebody's manipulating you. But thanks for the compliment.
Could work through all sorts of other areas there. Katie.
Yeah, I'm kind of, sorry, just chuckling.
Pull yourself together, my girl.
No, I'm sorry. It just amused me. I like the idea. Yeah, it's that lovely idea of being everywhere, but there's certain places I don't really want to be. trying to accept the good and the less positive things, and that sort of acceptance of things as they are, but a willingness to be sort of motivated to change things. I'm probably not explaining this anywhere near as eloquently as either Mike or Phil would do.
So the question is, are you expected to change things? Is that right?
It wasn't so much a question, I was kind of waffling.
Oh.
It's a critical observation. Phil, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think it always starts with having a certain faith that you can't be anywhere other than where you are in that particular moment. So, you know, you begin to deepen into a more helpful layer of consciousness, a more calming layer of consciousness, when no matter what is going on around you, if you can ask yourself, if you can remind yourself, look, I can't be anywhere other than where I am at this particular moment, so how does this serve? How does this situation serve me, serve us, serve the collective? How does it serve? Because it all serves in some way. And if you can start asking those questions, it's not even about, you know, I say this to my acting students each week. It's not about asking questions that you even are coming up with answers for. It's that in the process of asking questions, we open ourselves. And who knows what we might be, what wonderful thing we might be opening ourselves to in terms of our awareness and our receptivity. And the more we can train ourselves to ask better questions, the deeper and broader we will open ourselves.
In a way, just opened my microphone up for a moment there. In a world, I was just floating in a consciousness sort of deliberately thing there. But in a world where we do have a political situation, I mean, on Siren next week, of course, there's another...
Got a favourite show?
Exactly. There is another adventure that's taking place in terms of addition on the American election. Mike, are you concerned in any way, shape or form about the political scenario that we actually see in the States? Is it something that, in a sense, you say, well, we've been here before, we'll come out of it, we'll sort our way things through the whole system? Or is it just a case of, again, we are just primitive human beings learning our ways, making our first baby steps in the seashore of the cosmos?
Well, that's very nicely said, that latter part. We are infant souls making our way, learning our lessons. And as Phil said, you know, that leaves us with it is what it is, and it's okay. This is a dream for our eternal betterment. And while crazy, weird stuff can happen, you don't always have to explain the crazy, weird stuff. It's a matter of managing it and or looking forward, particularly with a vision in your mind of how you or we each individually would like to see life unfold, because again, literally, our thoughts become the things and events of our lives. It's not about looking back. It's not about unraveling mysteries even as they stare us in the face. It's a matter of kind of making the best of what is, while simultaneously, in spite of all evidence to the contrary, holding a vision in your mind of whether it's world peace or unity, working together, health, harmony, all those things that human beings want. They can have it, and that's what we're here to learn. Hold the vision, enjoy the journey, and keep taking baby steps.
Phil, it falls to you now that awesome responsibility of asking Mike Dooley those last two questions, astoundingly. But it's up to you.
Well, Mike, have you enjoyed your not only your transatlantic, but your universal link on the midweek drive? Today.
I have thoroughly enjoyed every moment, Phil. Thank you for asking.
And can the listeners and the cosmos look forward to hearing from you again soon?
Yes, indeed, as I shall look forward to spending more time with all of you.
A round of applause for Mike Dooley. Or in Mike's terms, woohoo! A jambo out at all. Actually, I had two jambos, which isn't bad, really, for a system which last week, when we piloted this with Phil Leonis, we weren't sure whether Phil was underwater, whether he's in a different sort of dimension. Was it all really?
Phil is everywhere. It felt like
Phil
just
quite literally was everywhere on that particular side of things. So, Mike, as ever, we salute you and we say happy trails for now. Do you have a particular piece of music, actually, that you'd like us to dig out to sort of see you out of this particular segment of the program?
Oh my gosh, so many choices. Well, do you do classical?
Yeah, actually we do. We may have it. Yeah, we may have some. It's carry on. Any particular, I mean, are we talking about Wolfgang Amadeus? Are we talking about something more Beethoven-esque in terms of style, etc.? We have the Marriage of Figaro. We got, I don't think you want Clean Bandit with Mozart's House. That's not the one we got at all.
How about Pachelbel?
Pachelbel's Canon. That's an excellent choice, and clearly we.
It's a bit movie-esque, but we've got Phil on the line.
Nice touch. I see that. In fact, that's what I feel that the Lady Killers actually needs, a bit of Pachelbel's Canon. No spoilers, but I did actually work my way through the latest movie Treat, Phil, and yes, intriguing. Intriguing. Well, I should say, I don't think Pachelbel's Canon is coming up in this way, shape at all from that point of view. I think what we might well do is go for those classic stalwarts of musical scenario, the Beatles. I think they would be there. And I wonder if we might come up with a particular Beatles number which you think, yes, that's the one we should actually sort of have, beginning with an H.
Hard Day's Night.
Hard Day's Night, possibly, but you know, I wasn't necessarily. I'm sort of sending the positive vibe through.
Oh,
this.
Come on, how come? If you're going to do the Beatles with Mike Dooley, why wouldn't it be Across the Universe?
Do you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was going to go for Here, There, and Everywhere, but I think Phil, you've chosen the right one. So, Mike, we salute you with this little number.
Honored.
words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me.
Is gone, but Phil Dearness is still hopefully still with us, aren't you, Phil?
I am indeed. Do I have a moment to talk about the presentation I saw at the Breakfast Club this morning?
Yes.
Okay, because I wanted to tie this into Star Trek. I mean, this seems they seem unlike each other, but a wonderful gentleman who is a legendary playwright and theater producer came and spoke to us about Cafe Chino, a cafe in Greenwich Village that was in operation for about 10 years in the 1960s. And in that cafe, literally all of off-Broadway began. But not only off-Broadway, also all of gay theater started there. And not only that, but from out of this space, shows like Jesus Christ Superstar and Hair and A Chorus Line and Dreamgirls began. So from one cafe with a handful of people, in a few short years, you get off-Broadway, you get gay theater, you get, extending today, the influence that brings us things like The Lion King and Les Miserables. So even modern theater does not exist with what these people did. And of course, this is at the same time that Gene Roddenberry is dreaming up a future that is worth our fighting to build. And so it's very inspiring me to think that no matter what the cultural conversation or the political conversation might be, and no matter how disturbing it might be, in the height of some of the most turbulent times, individuals said, well, you know what? The prevailing cultural and political conversation does not nourish me. So you know what I'm going to do? I am going to carve out space to start my own conversation.
Exactly so.
And here it is 50 years later, and we're still enjoying those visions. And we can all do that.
That's what we call the midweek drive, pushing the boundaries once again. Not so the universe pushes back, not in a kind of Star Trek Beyond way, but in a positive way. At 12:30 Los Angeles time, we will be speaking to the head, the director of entertainment and creative development at Universal Orlando, Michael Aiello, who'll be talking about his start as a scare actor, working in the Haunted Maze, and also how we face our fears. If you're listening in Lincoln, England, that's 8:30 tomorrow morning. We're also going to be joined by Dr. David Davis, futurologist and founder of Mind Lab International, who coined the phrase road rage, and he's going to be talking about the latest sort of form to actually give us challenges when we're actually thinking about things. Yes. Computer rage, BAD, broadband affective disorder. Brits suffer stress and anxieties due to poor internet connections. Lord knows we suffered with that with a Skype link with Phil Dearness last week. We didn't think we could do this week, but the rehearsal worked well and we managed to pull it through. We've got Ian Lennox from Tyneside, Richard Fitzwilliams with more movie news. This time he's talking about the Bourne movie, latest in the Bourne franchise. Bit of a thumbs down from Chilpack Hollywood, it has to be said, but that's the way they go. And indeed, we'll also have William Sitwell.
What? We haven't reviewed it yet.
Have we?
We haven't reviewed it.
I thought you did it on this week's show. Or was it? Did you not? Oh, right. Okay.
No, no. We talked about how it's not being warmly received on these shores, but it is being warmly received around the world. We will not actually do a review of it until this coming week.
There we are, you see. So we get in ahead of Chilpack Hollywood with, of course, that wonderful actress from the Guy Ritchie Man from U.N.C.L.E., of course, who is in there, Alicia Vikander, who is sensational, and I still feel that her role in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., sadly underrated. Michael
Do you understand that The Man from U.N.C.L.E. came out 6 months ago and no one even knows what you're talking about anymore? Reference one of her movies that did something. Like
All right, I know.
Or
impresses.
Her Oscar-winning turn in the
Danish Girl. I know, but you did pave the way working with Henry Cavill.
Because right now, all over the world, people are listening to this going, Guy Ritchie made a version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Exactly. There we are.
They were sick. They were sick the day it was in theaters.
I purchased the DVD for £5, a little over $8.
But you were the one. You were the one. And we've been trying to figure that out.
I got it together with spending £10 for Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice, and Man of Steel. £5 a piece for all of those. So I like to feel like adding my bits to the whole sequence. The band Cornerstone will be represented by American bassist Michael Wackelhofer as well. That's on tomorrow morning with Ellie Sample, Midweek Drive, Morning Edition. Very quickly, Ryan, have you enjoyed the programme?
I have.
And Katie?
Very much so.
We've worked our way through everything from Seagull Rage or Gull Rage, Anna Lewis in Jersey, Cameron Tilbury or Camo, William Coles, who was forgiven, Christine Webber, of course, Carl Richards, equine specialist, Paul Hill from Star Trek in Blackpool, Maggie Edrin Pocock, Mike Dooley and Phil Leonis. Oh, last two questions for Phil Leonis, please. Katie?
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, when do we get started?
Will you be joining us again soon?
I have nowhere else to go.
Sorry. It's like an officer and a gentleman over again.
I'm always tempted to add like a universe type PS, but I won't do that.
I think you should, actually.
No,
sometimes I think he protests too much. You know? Secretly, there's a line which is in there. Great stuff occurs on Siren FM. Happy trails. And can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Walking on a plane as I hold my breath, it's gonna be weeks till I breathe again. No, no, no. I know that you hate it, and I hate it just as much as you. But if you can brave it, I can brave it all for you. Call me anytime, you can see the lightning. Don't you feel alone, you can always find me.